You're listening to Industry Iowa, presented by CIRIS, the Center for Industrial Research and Service. Here's your host, Stephen Wilson.
Hello and welcome to the Industry Iowa podcast, where everything we talk about is related to improving the quality of life in Iowa by helping businesses and their communities prosper and grow. My guest today is Liz Hyman. Liz Hyman is the mastermind behind the Regarding Sales Operating System, a groundbreaking solution that takes the chaos out of sales. She's on a mission to rewrite the sales playbook, ditching outdated manipulative tactics in favor of curiosity, compassion, creativity. And I want to talk about that. That's exciting there. To help sellers soar. Decades of experience in sales and sales leadership with Miller Hyman, training powerhouse teams at HP, Coca-Cola. She knows precisely what it takes to turn struggling sales efforts into scalable success. Big thing is Liz is going to be speaking on sales leadership best practices, leveraging the investment in sales compensation at the April 2nd Ivy College of Business Innovation Sales Summit being held on the campus of, and I like to say, the Iowa State University. And so, hello, Liz. Welcome to Industry Iowa.
Oh, thanks for having me.
We were talking. Liz is coming to us from Reno, Nevada, where it's a beautiful day out there, sounds like. So we're 3 weeks out, right? Roughly three weeks out to the summit. Let's begin. Just talk a little bit about what's the role you're going to be playing. What are you a little bit more about your message there? Again, as I said, don't give too much away, right? We want folks to come. So tell us a little bit about it.
Well, I think the important thing is that the Ivy Sales Summit this year is going to be about compensation. And it's a really tricky subject. How exactly do you compensate a sales team? And so we're going to have some experts talking about that. But what I get to talk about is, okay, now that you are paying, have figured out what you're going to pay them, how are you going to make the relationship work? How are you going to make them effective sellers? How are you going to support and manage them and get the most that you can out of that investment? Because I hear all the time things like, this is the third salesperson I've hired who sold absolutely nothing. Or, I keep trying, but I just am not getting the right people in here. Or, you know, we're not growing the way I think we should be growing. Or I can't predict what we're going to do. So if we're going to have a sales team, we need to have a plan for managing and supporting and growing sales. And so that's really what I'm talking about is, now that you know what you're going to pay them, how are you going to make this investment play out for you and for them?
Yeah. So not as much about, you know, utilization of predictive index and all of these different assessments as to determine the right person. It's once we've identified, we really think that we've got the right person. We've identified what our compensation package is going to be. Now what? Right. It's sufficient in itself.
Well, it's not even the right person is a huge question. And I'll be talking about that a little bit, because we have this idea in our heads that sales is sales is sales. And right. I need somebody who can do everything, right? And what we need to know is, what is the job that I have and what is the skill set required to do it? So we'll be talking about that, because paying the right amount and not having the right person doesn't get you the result that you need.
No, it doesn't. Just as having the right person, but a compensation package that
disincentivizes them.
And
doesn't, right?
Yeah, yes, yeah. So in this, again, not taking away too much of your thunder, what do companies often overlook when structuring a compensation package?
So they overlook a lot of things. One is, what is it actually possible to do? What can one person really accomplish? What does it take from first contact to close? And when I talk to people about their sales cycles, they'll tell me, oh, I have a 3-month sales cycle and I sell to big enterprise. And my reaction is, no, you don't. You do not have a 3-month sales cycle. You have a 3-month sales cycle from the time you write that proposal until that deal closes. Mm-hmm. But what you don't know, what you're not tracking, is all the stuff that happens before that that proposal gets written or that qualification meeting happens. There's a whole bunch of selling that happens before that. And people aren't, you know, they're just not really aware of that. And so if you don't understand what's required to take a client from prospect through close, you don't know how to calculate what that person is going to need to do and how much they can accomplish and how much revenue they can actually bring in.
So we want to, and again, I'm just going to touch on, there's a few things that you had sent that, hey, here's some great topics. And so I want to touch on a little bit for each of them. Again, not throwing too much out there and encouraging people to connect with you and also to come to the sales summit. But, talk about in that of getting that, attracting and retaining top sales talent. What are some of the things that you've seen are pluses, minuses, challenges? Hey, yeah, this is a definite, we got to do that. Oh, don't you dare do that type of thing. Tell us a little bit about that.
So the first thing is attracting the right salesperson is important. And it's beyond just what is their skill set. It's really more around what is their mindset. And we tend to hire salespeople because we have this belief about what salespeople are like. Mm-hmm. And so when you put that in your head and you go salesperson, you think they're pushy, they're manipulative, they're big talkers, they're super confident, they're real outgoing, right? And then we focus on finding somebody that can tell me a great story and make me feel really good. And that's who I'm going to hire. And then we go back and we look at our company and we say, hey, these are our values for our company. It's integrity and it's caring for our clients and you know, supporting the local economy and right community. And then you go, let me hire this person who's big and bold and obnoxious and arrogant. And you're like, why don't our salespeople get along with anybody else in our company?
Right.
Yeah. Right. So that's the first thing is if you want to attract the right people, you need to attract them with the truth about who you are as a company and expect to find somebody who meets those criteria. If you're customer focused, then your salespeople need to be customer focused, not solution focused. They need to have integrity. They need to do all of those kinds of things, right? The other thing is that when we think about sales, we think about hunting and attacking and tracking prey, right? All of these words that are, one, very masculine. And I talk a lot, not in this talk, but in other talks about, you know, selling like a girl, how that's different. But we will not attract the kind of person who wants to take care of our clients and wants them to be successful if we hire hunters.
Right.
Hunters don't care for their prey. They eat it. Right?
Yeah. Yep.
Right.
To meet their own needs, right? To satisfy their own needs. That's it.
We're talking about trophy hunters, right? That have the big logos on. But that's not the stuff that sustains a business, that builds relationships and creates strategic partnerships and continues to grow and feed and build referrals. So when you're thinking about who do you want to sell, yes, they need to be outgoing enough that they're willing to pick up the phone. Yes, they need to be able to explain coherently what your company does. But do they need to be a big talker? Do they need to be arrogant? Do they need to be, you know, no, they don't.
Yeah.
And that kind of leads into, you know, if you want to attract the right people, then that's who you want to attract. And that what I was going to say is that kind of leads into this idea of compassion and creativity, right? And curiosity, because good salespeople ask good questions and they get people to talk to them and explain what's going on so we can truly figure out what is going on in your world. What is the solution that you need? Can I solve it? Or am I not the right company that's going to make you happy? And should I be looking for different prospects? If you want people who care about your customers, and hire people who care about your customers, look for people who ask good questions, right? This is the kind of really flipping the story around.
Yeah. Yeah. So just thinking about, can you tell us, and you've been involved in this for a good number of years.
Very long time.
Yeah.
Much longer than I am willing to admit.
That's why I wasn't gonna a good number of years. I thought that was a safe, yeah.
Yeah,
good number of years. Reading your profile and history and things like that. I'm sure you have seen trends and you've experienced an organization shifting and being able to make that transition. Can you speak to that? Can you share a little example of an organization that maybe did have that, a little bit of that other style, and then over time transitioned to this?
Yeah, so it's not uncommon, right? And it often sounds more like, why aren't my salespeople accomplishing what I want them to accomplish? Why is the company not growing? Why are we not able to predict sales? Because our buyers don't know anything about our sellers. They don't really, our sellers don't know anything about our buyers. They don't really know when their timeline is. They don't really know how much they're going to spend. They don't really know how important the sale is. They haven't taken the time to get to know a bunch of different people in the organization that can confirm that this decision is going to be made and that they're well positioned to make that deal. So when you start to realize we have no predictability, we don't know what's going on and we're not growing the way we want to, that's when I come in to a company and say, well, let's look at, first of all, what is your sales process? Who are you selling to? What is the messaging? How much do you know about your buyers? What does it really take to close a deal? You know, how many conversations do you have to have in order for it to turn into a deal? We start to do that. And then what we see on the other end is a sense of control. Right. So we go from this chaotic, I have no idea what's going on, to, hey, this is what's happening. This is where we really stand. And I'm doing it right now with a client who just felt like the salespeople were just doing stuff. There was activity with no productivity. Right. Mm-hmm. So we can do activity without producing
yes.
any results on the at the other end. And as we've begun to implement, this is how we do a funnel review. These are the questions that we ask. This is how we manage our key accounts. These are the activities that happen around that in the planning. And here's, you know, as we began to do that, her sense of comfort with where they really are and what they can really accomplish has improved dramatically. And that's always what happens, because mm-hmm. it's the out of control that is so hard for a company. I know, use this statistic when we're doing the talk. 80% of American companies cannot predict within 25% of what they're going to make, right? So 80% of US companies have no idea how much money they're going to make next year.
Yeah. That was one of my upcoming questions was, somebody, what are some of the biggest reasons that sales forecasts miss the mark?
So there's a whole bunch of reasons. One is because they're not doing enough. They don't really understand the sales math. So they don't know what it takes, how many conversations you have to close, and what would make that ratio better. So because we don't know that, we don't have enough in the funnel, and we're desperately trying to close deals that probably aren't going to close. Our salespeople aren't telling us the truth because they're afraid they're going to get in trouble. You know, if you believe this is going to close and you start making deal, you know, plans around this closing and it doesn't close, then I'm going to be in trouble. So they don't tell us the truth about what's closing when. They don't know what's closing when. The biggest reason it's unpredictable in my mind is, aside from the not keeping accurate information and the salespeople telling what's really happening, it's the not knowing. So because salespeople don't do a good job of positioning themselves throughout a company, there are so many surprises. This is a done deal that doesn't close.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it's because we don't take the time to position ourselves across the company to make sure that we know how well we're positioned and whether the deal is going to close or not. So the surprises come when we're talking to my guy. I always talk about my guy selling. My guy said, if your salespeople are saying, my guy said, John said this, and John's going to get us this, and John's going to get us that. Well, that is not well positioned. Well positioned is, I talked to Gary, I talked to John, I talked to Steve, I talked to Fred, talk to Mary, here's what's going on, here's what she wants, here's what they want. He wants this company, they want, right? Here's how we are positioned. And based on all of that, I can tell you, you know, we're 50-50 on this, or I feel really confident that this is going to close. But if you're not well positioned across the company, and if you're not asking those questions as a leader, you're not going to get those answers.
I even remember in my own, I still have to do some sales, not to the extent, but it, not wanting to hear no. And so oftentimes walking away from that conversation because I didn't ask the tough question really at the end, you know, I kind of did this assumptive close and walked away in optimism. Right. Hey, yeah, we got this, right? You know, and then finding out, not at all, you know.
Not even close, yep.
Not even close.
And as salespeople, you know, as sales managers, we need to support our salespeople around this. But as salespeople, we tend to really avoid asking the question that is going to let us know that we're poorly positioned.
Because if I don't ask for a yes, it's always still possibly there. But if it's no, right, that's how it can be looked at. If it's no, it's a done deal, and right.
And so as a leader, one of the things you should always be asking is what could make this deal not happen, right? And then your salespeople have to go find out the answer to that. What could happen that could undermine this? Who is not in support of this project, and do they have the authority to undermine this? Or do they have the power to undermine it once it's been purchased, right? And so these are the kinds of, questions that the conversations we need to be having with our client, with our team.
Yeah. And as we talked about, again, you're listening to the Industry Iowa podcast, which is a podcast of CIRIS, the Center for Industrial Research and Service. We're talking with Liz Hyman, and Liz is going to be speaking at the April 2nd Innovation Sales Summit put on by the Ivy College of Business here in at Iowa State University. And Liz, I want to catch this here quick. Obviously, we want people to come to the summit. We want individuals there. How else can individuals connect with you?
There's two ways. One is you can go to my LinkedIn. It's Liz Hyman, H-E-I-M-A-N. I am the only one. So you can connect with me there and tell me how you met me or how you found me. The other is you can go to my website, which is regardingsales.com. And there are lots of articles. There's lots of interesting things to read. And you can also request a sales strategy. And I'll do a 30-minute sales strategy with anybody who would like to. And it is completely free with no obligation whatsoever.
Excellent. Well, thank you for that. Yes, I love that because that's one of my, I think maybe my thought process is too, is always trying to be a resource to someone before you're asking them for something, right? Yeah, make yourself available for a resource. And so thank you for putting that out there. Again, this is a smorgasbord or buffet, however you want to call it, touching a little bit here and there on different subjects. And back to this individual or the understanding of hiring a salesperson, what are some red flags to know or to look for when hiring a salesperson?
Someone who doesn't ask you tough questions. If they are telling you stories and not asking, don't hire them.
What might be a tough question?
They should be asking you things like, how long is your sales cycle? Where do leads come from? Tell me about your best clients. How do you grow the accounts that you have? They should be asking you about your sales organization and how it works. Another thing to be really looking for is ask them about what they really did and how they did it. When you go to a trade show, tell me about what you do before a trade show. Tell me what you do during a trade show. Tell me what you do after a trade show. And I have to tell you a really quick story because I was having this conversation with a rep we were going to hire. And two things happened that were really interesting. One was the guy looked at me and said, I don't do trade shows. And I'm like, okay, well, that's probably not going to work because that's part of this model is that we do trade shows. The other thing was that the the COO who was doing the hiring said, but this guy sounds great. Why aren't you asking all these detailed questions about how they do things? Like, if they can't tell you how they're going to fill their funnel with really clear detail, they don't know how to fill their funnel. And so, especially if you're a startup or a company that's really starting to build an outbound sales organization, you need a team that knows how to go do that and isn't afraid and enjoys it. And you have to ask tough questions to figure out if they know how to do those things. And do they like doing them? And watch the look on their face when they talk about having to go out to networking or trade shows or, you know, whatever it is that you're going to need them to do. So, you know, digging into the details is important.
I think I'm wondering if you're reading my next questions here, because you talked about funnel in it right there. It's, what key metrics should companies be tracking to manage their sales funnel effectively? What are some of those?
So it depends a lot on what your sales team does, what their role is. So if, for instance, you have what we call an SDR team, a sales development rep, whose job is to dial for dollars, to just sit there all day long and dial, then you have two metrics, right? One is how many dials did you make, and two, maybe three, how many conversations did you have, and how many next meetings did you set? So that those are pretty simple, and those are completely activity-based. But if you want to track the things that matter, what matters is how many new leads are going into the funnel, how many new deals are going into the top of the funnel, how many are qualifying, how many proposals are you writing, what percentage of those proposals are closing. So knowing what I call, and I think I said before, was the sales math. And what are the ratios? What are the numbers and the ratios that get you to where you want to be? And is the team doing enough of that? The other is to really establish who your ideal customer profile, you know, who's your ideal customer? What is your ideal customer profile? That being who's the one that's most likely to buy from you, most likely to be happy, most likely to buy more in the future. And then what, how many of the people that you're talking to meet that criteria? And we tend to focus on somebody who is ready to purchase as being ideal. And that's great when they come in ready to purchase. But a lot of times the people who are ready to purchase may not be the people you need to be focused on selling to.
Yeah. Maybe it's, it seems like this came about too easy. You know, I'm getting too many affirmations here. And are they the right one there? What are some best practices for coaching and developing a sales team? You know, you get all those things, you've got the right person. We want to keep them. We want to sustain them, but recognize that development has to continue to occur. What are some best practices that you've seen?
So the first one is going to surprise you. The first one and the most important one is celebrate. Sales is hard. It's a hard job. Mm-hmm. I don't care who you are, how much you love it. Sales is a hard job.
Yeah.
And it can be soul sucking, right? It can absolutely make you feel horrible sometimes. So if all you're doing is nagging and you're not celebrating, you're not doing your job as a sales leader or sales manager. So, or as a company owner, celebrating is super important. The second thing is coaching. The numbers vary depending upon who you're talking to. 30% of a sales leader's time should be spent coaching. Gartner's latest number is 70%. And as a CEO, that's hard. If you're the CEO running the sales team, you don't have 70% of your time to be coaching your sales team, but you better be finding the time to coach, or find somebody who has the time to coach, because that coaching your sales team is important. There's other things like having processes and systems and strategies and language and, you know, what I call a sales operating system. Like, do you have all of the infrastructure in place that supports someone's success, or do you expect them to come in and know what to do?
Now, just in closing, what else? Just if there's one thing today you want to kind of send away as a takeaway to people, that might be thinking about the summit or just connecting with you, what would you like to share?
I think the one thing is that sales is changing, and it's the sales landscape is changing. The sales tools are changing. Our customers are changing. The way they interact is changing. And we need to be thinking about who our customer is, how they want to interact, and how they want to be supported so that we can build a sales organization that achieves that.
I love that, because I was hearing, and I've heard this multiple times, and I've shared it myself, you know, adaptation, right? A manager that cannot adapt to the situation, can't adapt to the employee, they're going to be limited as to their growth. Same thing, a salesperson can't adapt to maybe the product, or can't adapt to the client, the client style, things like that. They're going to be limited. And so what it sounds like is, over time, the whole sales process, customers, all of those things are changing. And if you're not able to adapt to those, then it's gonna be more of a struggle than it normally is.
What I hear a lot from CEOs and COOs and chief science officers is, you know, what we were doing is no longer working. Yeah. What carried us these 20 years or 30 years isn't doing it anymore. And if you haven't hit that point, I guarantee you will hit that point if you haven't been changing what you're doing. So this world is changing faster than, you know, at a faster rate than it's ever changed in the past. It's exponential change in our world. And what you did isn't going to continue to work. So being able to really think about what we want to do. And if you're facing that, that's a great time to have a conversation with me. I would love to just have that conversation again. Let's have that conversation. Your world is changing, and your sales team can't do it the way you did it 20 years ago. It's just not going to work the way it used to. And we're finding that distributors aren't behaving the same way they used to behave. So distributors who've always delivered are not delivering anymore. These things are changing. You need a new plan.
All right. Well, Liz, thank you so much for being a guest on Industry Iowa, and we'll see you April 2nd. And listeners, we hope to see you April 2nd as well. So thanks again, Liz.